Well, welcome to American Christian. How you doing? Episode 126 today. Doc is on assignment elsewhere, and my name is Pete Cooper, and we are Heart of the Father Ministries, and this is our podcast called American Christian. You know, I was in Africa. I think I have mentioned that maybe a couple of times back in April. And we've just come back, and one of the things that had hit me the other day while I was in the Word, I was in the letter of 1 Peter, and this was something that had run up on me in such a way, and maybe this has happened to you. If you spend some time in the Word, I'm sure that it is. So let's just move from that point on, is that, hey, you know what, if you're a consumer of the Word of God, there are things that God is going to reveal to you over a period of time. So I just want to share some of that with you today on American Christian. Now, in the first letter of Peter, this is the early church, right? And can put its time in around 63-64 AD, and but you know, the theme behind Peter is that he's bringing a message that's one of comfort, of hope, of encouragement, and he's asking readers to hold fast to the faith in the midst of the coming persecution. And in these letters, we get a picture of a mature Peter who has incorporated Christ's crucifixion and death and resurrection into his thinking about suffering. So he fully understands and even looks forward to the glory that is to come after the sufferings of this life. Now, living in America, you think about, like, what kind of suffering are we really going through? And that's subjective, I would think. But moving forward with that, just in the heart of being encouraged, 1 Peter, we're going to go into chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And maybe you got your hands full, and maybe you're just listening as you're driving down the road, but have a listen here. 6 and 7, it says, "In this rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ." The fire, being purified by fire. And that was kind of the, oh, well, okay, so what are we talking about here? Well, let's go look at, if we go in and take a look at fire, right? We look at fire. One of the, I don't know if arguably you would say that Job was probably the first book that was written, but even Job says this. In verse 10 of 23, he says this. He says, "But he knows the way I take," God knows. "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way, and I have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he's unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore, I'm terrified at his presence. When I consider, I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face." So here we have this idea of fire, right? So bear with me. Just I'm getting to the point where when we're doing crusades, if you can picture in your mind, we have a very large stage, probably 20 feet long, 25 feet long. It's probably 12 feet deep. And then it rises off the ground at about 4 or 5 feet, so that you're up from the crowd and ministering to the people. And one of the things that happens when we are sending out a declaration, a declaration of healing, a declaration of deliverance, and people start getting delivered, and ministers are down within the crowd of people ministering, something begins to happen when we start to say, fire, or fire of God, fire of God, fire of God. And this is repeatedly said from the stage as all this ministering is going on, the music's going on, the people are down in front, people's hands are raised, ministers are laying their hands on people. Fire of God, fire of God. And so this is just a repetition of a shouting down, a declaring down from heaven, the fire of God to fall upon the people. And I was thinking, what does that mean? Like, when we're calling down the fire of God, what is being meant? That is what brought me into today's episode, the fire of God. So fire separates foreign and impure materials from metal, typically gold and silver. They're smelted. They're put under an intense amount of heat and fire. The impurities rise up to the surface and they're pulled off. The interesting thing about gold is that it can be refired over and over and over and over again and never lose any of its properties, which is an interesting little side note. Like, gold basically cannot be destroyed. There are ways to dissolve it and make it as though it doesn't appear, but for the most part, you can't burn it. You can't fire it. It's there. It's a precious metal, as you know. So when we're looking at these scriptures with fire, and we'll look at several of them, we're going to be in Job and Proverbs, we'll be in Isaiah and Romans, we'll be in 2 Thessalonians, and we started out in 1 Peter. But genuine faith is also proved through, quote unquote, through a fire that is happening. It's proved. So faith is having its way. So when we're calling down the fire of God, we're asking God to expose the genuine faith, burn off everything else, the reasoning and the logic, the things that enter into the mind. I mean, how many times have you decided that you were going to head off to some kind of a special event where you know that God is going to be there? But yet, in your mind, you start to struggle with, well, should I go? Do I have other things that are more important? There becomes this challenge. There may even be a physical sickness that starts to come over you as you start to press into these things. I could give you testimony about that as well. But fire, when we say fire of God, we are exposing the rewards men will have in the eternal kingdom. Fire of God to expose the genuineness of their faith, to release praise, to release honor and glory to our Father in heaven. Fire of God, the fire of God be upon you. Fire of God be upon you. To release a love for God and an inexpressible joy, right? To receive your salvation, to reveal the rewards of heaven, to increase your belief, right? So those are the kind of things that I'm talking about when I say fire of God. What is being meant? Maybe you've heard those words before and you're being like, well, I mean, it's just part of the language that we use as Christians. So to reveal to you what the prophets found, this is 1 Peter 1:12. To reveal to you what the prophets found, to minister the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you. When the gospel is being preached to you, think about that. By the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into, 1 Peter 1:12. And let's take a look at that in we'll take a look at that in the Amplified. It was revealed to them that their services, their prophecies regarding grace, were not meant for themselves and their time. Think about that. The things that are being revealed to you, the fire, with the things that are being revealed to you, have you ever thought that there sometimes, maybe even often, that it's not for you, it's for someone else? This is what the prophets were seeing. This is what they found out, that what that was being revealed to them about Christ, about the coming of Christ, about this Savior that was going to come into the world, that was going to rescue, that was going to do all this. They were receiving this word for the people that would be alive right now, and even back in the time of Peter, back in the early church. Things were being revealed way back then for what was happening right now. So let's continue on. It was revealed to them that their services, their prophecies regarding grace, were not meant for themselves and their time. It wasn't for themselves and their time, but for you in these things. The things are the death, the resurrection, and the glorification of Jesus Christ, which now have been told to you by those who preach the gospel to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was sent from heaven. Into these things even angels long to look. Angels are longing to look into the things that are being revealed to you, because as the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you, it's coming upon you. And you're getting this revelation that's coming directly out of heaven. Think about that. Coming directly out of heaven to reveal to you direction, as Job had said. But he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. How can you hold fast to the steps that God has laid before you unless you are connected to him? Unless things are being revealed to you. And this is why it's important for us to daily be in prayer, daily be in the Word. Otherwise, there are things that seem to overcome us, the things of this world, our thoughts, our reasonings, our unbelief. Things come at us, right? And we start to stutter step as to what direction we're supposed to go. And this even can, you can throw this down into the oil. You can throw this into the oil lamp, the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. This is like the kingdom of heaven. That's what the word says about the virgins. It's like that. There are going to be wise and there are going to be unwise. There are going to be those that are going to be filled with oil. They're going to have their oil. And there are going to be those that run out of oil. And believer, hear me when I say, you can run out of oil. And that's why being baptized in the Holy Ghost and receiving word from God is paramount to how you are going to be able to survive and to walk through these trials that are going to come your way. Amen? All right. So, and this kind of ties into a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing with a friend of mine, Deuteronomy 2:24. And it was this verse, you know how when verses can come into your life. I know some of you are nodding your head saying, yeah, I mean, things change when they come. Deuteronomy 2:24 says this, "Rise, take your journey, cross the river Arnon. Look, I've given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, the king Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Engage him in battle." Verse 25, "This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations of the whole world, under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you." Think of that. Think of that. To engage someone in battle, that God is going to put dread into the hearts of others because of what God is going to start to do in your life. Dread comes in. This is the first time that the people, other nations, were going to start to fear what Israel was going through, and as they were walking through. And if you remember, in the book of Joshua, when they came into when they had crossed over and they went into the land there, he runs up onto Rahab, right, and she's the one that's reporting all these people were in fear because they were hearing the reports of what was coming out. Think about that. Think about reports that are coming in about you, that you have now changed your ways. You are now a person who is living with integrity. You have a moral fortitude. You are walking. You have started to keep his way. You have not turned aside. You have not departed from the commandment of God's lips in your life. And when that starts to happen, people start to get dread upon them as to, well, what are they going to do? How are they going to move? What does this mean for me as I'm moving forward? How come they have that and I don't, right? So anyway, this was another thing. So it's like two of these scriptures that had come at me, the Deuteronomy 2, 24 and 25, and then the 1 Peter verses 6 and 7. This is all happening to us so that the genuineness of our faith. And Peter's saying, look, your faith is more precious than gold. You know, we tie a lot of our living upon our merits of what we're able to do or not do, upon our talents, our natural ability. There are men and women all over the world that have such incredible natural abilities. I don't want to go down that path, but I'm just telling you that the supernatural ability that God is giving you to be able to walk through trials, to be able to resist the devil and that he would flee from you, to be able to be imparted with knowledge from heaven that earthly people don't have, your family doesn't have, because of what God is revealing to you to be able to bring them up and out in the same way that you have come up and out and begin to walk with the Lord, right? This is another, you know, it's in Deuteronomy 4:24, but one of our banners that we carry with us, Heart of the Father, as when we're doing crusade, is Hebrews 12:29. It says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God, a consuming fire. Here it is again, right? That the fire of God, when I'm calling down the fire of God to come down, it is to bring dead things back to life through fire. We also have the cloven tongues of fire out of Acts, right? The fire is only for those who have been resurrected. It is only, you can only receive this fire, really, when you become born again, when you start to walk in the Spirit, when you begin to move about, and when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with tongues of fire. Think about that, tongues of fire. You know, Pastor Gene Sherrod out of Graston this Sunday, it was Pentecost Sunday this last Sunday. If you missed that, if you're attending a church and maybe nobody even brought up the fact that it was Pentecost Sunday. Look, Pentecost Sunday is to me now, because I've seen the evidence of what Pentecost Sunday has done, I've seen lives changed in the same way that I see, because of the resurrection, people are coming and being baptized in the name of Jesus. They're being baptized in water, right? They're starting to walk out the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter. And we look about what Christmas does and Christ being born, coming out of heaven, coming into this world, and walking and breathing and ministering and doing all the works that Jesus did in and amongst us. The fire of God opens up avenues for you in the same way that it opened up avenues for Jesus. Jesus did what he did as a man, even though he was fully God and fully man. He lays down the deity side of who he is and walks this out as a man. Because if Jesus had to call upon deity to be able to walk through, right, trial and tribulation, what chance do you and I have, right? So we need the fire of God. We need to be able to move about. We need to be able to receive from God this revelation. And so again, the fire of God, fire of God. And here's another thing, you know, baptized in fire. And heaven tearing open wide, right? Like, you now have access because you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that brings fire. That's the fire in your life. And so as I was doing this research, one of the other things that one of the other scriptures I fell upon was Zechariah 12:6. Now check this out. Because this is, I think, these are the important things. And if we're trying to win a race here, we're trying to get to the end, we're trying to take our family, we're trying to take our husbands, we're trying to take our wives, we're trying to take our family, we're trying to take our grandkids, we're trying to move them into the eternal things that God has in play for us, right? That the second coming is surely on its way. And the evidence that surrounds us right now, as we look at any type of newsreel, if we go into any type of social media where news reports are coming out, look, there are some crazy stuff that's happening right now. Look, we have a problem with morality in our own nation. We have a problem from top down with lying and cheating and taking and stealing, really, what belongs to others and taking that. I mean, I don't want this podcast to be about that. So I'm just saying that right now we have a problem because the fire of God needs to fall upon all the men of this nation. Everybody needs to come to Jesus. They need to receive him as Lord and Savior. They need to be baptized in water and be baptized in fire. Amen? So anyway, Zechariah 12:6 says, "In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, like a fiery torch in the sheaves, and they shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place." Jerusalem. You think about a fire pan. And if you've burned wood, if you've ever done that, and I spent years burning wood and understanding that that underneath what appears to be a dead bed of coals, if you dig down, there's still this heat source and still these very red hot coals that just need to be surfaced up and for the top ash to be removed, and then you can restart a fire. But a fire pan, "In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the wood pile. I was looking at that and I was thinking, wow, you know, that's kind of like me. That's kind of like you. That like we are like this fire pan that's going to ignite the wood pile, the dead wood. Even if it's wet wood, we know that God can consume it because he's a consuming fire. We saw that with Elijah when he was up against the prophets of Baal, is that he calls down fire from heaven to burn it up. The wood, the sacrifice, the water, the stones, everything. He consumes it all. And it puts him on display. And that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to bring and to put Jesus on display. And that's why the laying on of hands for the sick. That's why deliverance, casting out demons, healing lepers, raising the dead. These are the things that put God on display for others to see. Wow. So here's an example. And maybe I told you about this. But if I didn't, great. But if I did, hear it again. I'm in the back of a plane at 47,000 feet with a minister friend of mine, Jeffrey Mancini. And we were in the back of the plane. It was a long flight. It was a 14-hour flight, and we were in the back, and we were talking with one of the Muslim guys, a younger Muslim guy. And he couldn't get his head around the fact that, how can God be three in one? How could Mary become pregnant without a man? How could God make her pregnant? How could that even be possible? He was befuddled by it. And so you end up in kind of this circular statement, you know, and unbelief is really showing itself. I cannot bring that into reason with me. And that was really his point. I can't get past that. I can't get past what I don't know. I can't get past the logical side of this. Like, how can that even be? How can God be three in one? And we've talked about that here on American Christian. And if you want to look at, you know, the doctrine of God, if you want to look at the doctrine of Christ, we have that. You can go back and take a listen on that. But at 47,000 feet, this is all kind of going on. Two other men end up coming into the back while we're having a conversation with this younger guy. And they were just listening intently, da-da-da-da-da. And that conversation kind of starts to kind of fade away. And then these other two gentlemen that had come back, they were like, well, who are you guys? Like, where are you guys going? And we were like, well, we're going to Tanzania. What are you guys going to do there? Well, we're going to do a five-day crusade. And we're going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to do deliverance ministry in a village. We're going to celebrate Jesus. And people are going to get baptized, and people are going to get born again. And they were like, wow. They wanted to know more about healing. They were like, well, what do you mean that you're going to go heal people? Like, what does that mean? And so when we said laying hands on the sick and that people would recover, like people with bone problems, joint problems, people that were being tormented by demonic evil spirits, depression and anxiety, people that were going to, women that would have their wombs open, these kinds of things. And they were like, oh, they said, you know, our priest does that. And we were like, your priest does that? Yeah, he does that with holy water. And we said, does he do that like within the walls of the church, or does he do that outside of the church? And, they said, yeah, he does both that. He does that. And it was Jeff that had said to these two young men, they said, well, first of all, you guys are Christians. Yeah, we're Christians. And and Jeff goes on to explain that in the Word, in the book of Luke, in the book of Mark, it says that we as believers can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? So how does that happen? You know, just a little side note. The fire of God starts coming in and it starts to do its thing. It starts to do its work. There's a supernatural exchange that's happening there. But when we explain to these other two men that, hey, look, you can do this. And they were like, what? What do you mean we can do it? How can we do it? Oh, well, because you've been born again. That's how you can do it. So having that kind of conversation, and with two men that didn't know what the scriptures said, they were very excited over the fact that the Word of God said that they could do that. And they started to walk that out. It started to move within their own mind. They were like, oh, the scriptures say that? Again, back to Job. My foot has held fast to his steps, and I have kept his way, and I have not turned aside. When you grab a hold of what the Word of God is saying and start to move in that, you're taking with you the fire of God. Amen? All right. So those two guys. And then a third man comes along, an older guy, probably in his 60s. And he vehemently, very boisterously says, wait a minute, what is this? Why doesn't God just come down here? And why doesn't he just show himself? Why doesn't he just show himself and say, here I am, I'm God? And that it seems to me that God is hiding. And if he comes down here and told everybody who he was, then we could just be rid of this whole thing. It would, the arguments would be over, it would be done. So one of the phrases that he said, which was interesting, because he said, why is God hiding from me, right? And if we go back, and again, here we are, look at what Job is saying. Look, he's not able, right? Though Job couldn't find God, that's kind of the deal, but God could find him. And when he's tried by God, Job would come forth as gold. That's what he was saying in verse 10. But he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. This guy in the back of the plane at 47,000 feet was very irritated and agitated. And Jeff says, and here it is, you know, fire of God. Here it is, boom. We're going to cut through that whole thing. And Jeff says to this older gentleman, do you have any sickness in your body? He just says, wait. Do you have any sickness in your body? And the older Muslim man says, of course I do. Well, what is it that you have that's wrong with you, that if God was to come down and heal you right now and show himself to you in that way, would you believe? And he said this, of course I would. And just as he said those words, I laid my hand on his head and I said, just as you've spoken, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, be healed in Jesus' name. And I said it that loud. I said it that direct. I said it with those words, be healed. Now, the ailments that he was talking about, he had psoriasis on his skin. He had it on the top of his head. He also had blood problems and heart problems in his body. And then this was the other word that the Lord had put upon me. And I don't know the exact words because they just poured out of me. And I said, when you go back to the doctor, all of these things will be confirmed to you that you have been completely healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And they're going to wonder why. And you're going to confess and say, I was healed of the Lord. Jesus Christ healed me on a plane at 47,000 feet. There you go. Now, the man who was healed in that moment, his countenance completely changes. It just comes over him. Oh, this guy is just filled with peace. And he's not irritated anymore. He's not angry. And he was just, wow. And that was it. He walked away. It was done, right? So we get done because one of the stewardesses comes back and she's like, hey, you know, this isn't really a gathering place, guys. You know, you got to go back to your seats. And so we all did. An hour, maybe 2 hours later, the guy, the older man, is walking down the aisle, right? And Jeff says to him, hey, how are you doing right now? How are you feeling right now? And the guy goes, I feel wonderful. I feel wonderful. I feel wonderful. This is amazing. And he's smiling, and he's walking back down to his seat. He was up in the front section of the plane. We were towards the middle back portion of the plane. So, you know, there it was. You know, God showing himself strong, showing himself faithful, showing himself, even though the older gentleman couldn't find God for all these years, the Lord shows up and in a moment opens a window, fire falls upon him, and he's completely healed. So there you go. I would say, you know, to bring conclusion to today's podcast, know that you're a fire pan in a wood pile. Some of you are smoking hot right now. You're blazing. You're walking things out. You are testifying. You're leading people to Jesus. And rightly so, continue to do so. But if you had experienced this last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, and there wasn't mention of it made in your church, I would say, hey, Pastor, you know, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and we really didn't talk about that. Is there a time that we could sit down and talk about Pentecost and what happened on that day? How does the church feel about Pentecost? Because I'm telling you, it's right up there with Christmas and Easter. It's a celebrated thing. And I have other stories from a year ago Pentecost, things that had happened and things that had changed on both young and old. So my name's Pete Cooper. This is Heart of the Father Ministries, and you're listening to American Christian.